Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Dr. Catherine May's Blog Talk Radio Program Channel Panel. That little fuzz will go away in just a second. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, 2015. That's still so fun to say. On our call tonight, we call our Wednesday evening program our Ascension Training. And oh my godness, as my friend Mary likes to say, we have a fabulous program tonight, if I do say so myself. We have our dear Catherine, our host and channel, and joining us, we have all of our beloved brothers, Sananda, Michael, Ashtar, and Raphael. And I think we might have some special callers calling in. We'll see if Marlene and Mary can join us. Here to share all the galactic and ascension news for our eager hearts. What fun this is going to be. This is Meg, your co-host, calling in from Georgia, and our dear Catherine is calling in from her home in New York. Good evening, Catherine.
Hi, Meg. Thank you.
Hi, Catherine.
Your introduction just made me smile from ear to ear. Sounds like fun was coming tonight.
Well, my goodness, how did they expect us to run this panel with just two hands? They're giving us a good challenge.
It does sound pretty exciting. Well, they all want to be in on it. And I have a little introduction to what we're going to do tonight. I was just talking with Marlene. Many of you know that Marlene is one of the people who went to the Yucatan with me a week and a half ago. And we did some very interesting work there, activations and clearings. And apparently there are ripple effects from that are very interesting. And Marlene is very articulate about what she experiences and learns, so I want her to come on with me and talk about it. I will give you a little background. Since we got back, I have been really tired. Now, I figured what we did there was pretty exhausting, so a few days recovery, and then I started to feel a little more rested. And then all of a sudden, the last couple days, I feel like I've been hit by a truck. As our friend Christine said, on my face, tired. So I called on our friends in high places and said, what is going on here? I feel like I'm just completely exhausted and feeling these waves of weird energy. So they said, okay, we're going to explain it to you. Now, this is part of what this introduction is about, a new phase in our work together, all of us. Those on the call and all of us who are doing this work, we're all light workers, boots on the ground. And so we're going to share with you a lot of what we've been learning and experiencing. that is completely outside of what these messages have been. So, first of all, now we have a squeak on the line.
I'm going to put myself on mute just in case it's me, Catherine.
Okay. All right. I think I can. Yeah, and then I'll get you back when it's time. This is beyond what we've shared in the past because we've been learning more about what goes on in the higher dimensions, and I wanted to share it with everybody. So I think I got permission from Sananda and Ashtar and Michael and Raphael to open up the discussion a little bit more and give people a better sense of what's going on behind the scenes. Because a lot of light workers I know are getting tired and maybe are feeling what I've been feeling. And if you're not aware of what it is, it would be really hard to take. So where to start? Marlene and I are going to talk between us about what we're learning, what we've discovered, and what we know about what goes on in the higher dimensions. Sananda and friends are going to come in and talk to you about it. And I hope by the end of the call, everyone listening will have a much bigger picture of what's really going on in this whole process that relates to, you know, how we interact with our higher selves and with our ascended masters, the ones we talk about and know, and others, the company of heaven, and what our role in it is, what their role in it is, and how that interrelates. And I think we can add something to the story that will help people understand what's really going on in the universe and on planet Earth, why it seems as if we haven't reached all of the goals that we thought were going to roll out, and what it means, where we are in the process. So first I'm going to explain what they told me about why I was falling on my face tired. So we'll begin there. After we did the work in the Yucatan, we apparently stirred up huge amounts of energy and made tremendous connections between and among the pyramid sites and the ancient sacred sites, but we also stirred up so many feelings that have been buried in the stones, in the hearts of people, the tragedies of war, the feelings of competition, fear, anger, sadness, despair, people being dislocated, people being put into second-class citizenship, and so on. And I think the Yucatan is a really classic area in terms of that, because they've been through it all. And the people who have been through it all are still there, carrying on the feelings and the experience of those that came before them. So that's true, of course, in the Yucatan and in other places in the world, but it's also especially poignant in the Middle East, where all of those conflicts from this entire civilization going back to the beginning have been ongoing. The battle between the conquerors and the oppressors, the battles between the religious ideologues, the battle between men and women, and so on. It's all been played out there as well. And, of course, the pyramids in the Yucatan are connected to the pyramids in Egypt. So those, I'm going to have Marlene come on and talk a little more about that. But the part about being tired had to do with I was asked, no, let's back up a little more even. I volunteered. So apparently we were in meetings with our galactic friends. The meetings are ongoing, and those of you who are beginning to wake up and beginning to remember things will know that you've been in important meetings, ongoing, discussing what's going on planet Earth and what to do about it. So one of the things that came up in the meetings was that the dark energies that are being stirred up have to be cleared away, because otherwise they create tremendous interference and a warp in the environment. So apparently I was one of those who volunteered to help clear out the dark energies. And that involves somehow absorbing and releasing it into the earth. So those of you who have been inexplicably exhausted this week, you're probably involved in that part of the process as well, of absorbing and releasing into the earth the dark energies that are swirling around us that have been released by the work of all the light workers who've been putting in such effort recently that things are really coming to a head on the surface. So it's not a bad thing that we're all, you know, falling on our faces, exhausted. It's part of the process, and it really is part of the progress. So, Meg, I invite you to come in anytime you like, but I'm going to open Marlene's line. And I know we have to kind of limit the number of lines we have open. So, Marlene, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Catherine. Hi.
Hi.
And hi, everybody.
So you've heard what I was talking about, I think.
Yes, I've heard.
Okay.
I heard everything. And it was a brilliant description.
Oh.
Yes.
I feel like I'm sort of walking through a fog here and just describing it as I go. So I'm doing my best to make, you know, to give the explanation to people so that they will relate to it and understand too. Because I think people really need to know. Everybody, the light workers really need to know and need more information about what's really going on and what part they're playing too. You know, all of us in our sleeping times are working just as hard as we do when we're awake. And many people don't remember it. Mm-hmm. I've been remembering more, and I know that you have as well. And I found that when we compare notes about what we remember, it's very helpful. So I thought we could maybe offer a little bit of that to the people who are listening and let them know what we understand about this whole process. And you were talking earlier about the connection between the pyramids and the energies in the Yucatan and the Middle East. Do you want to add anything to what I was saying?
Well, the both pyramid sites are aligned on Earth, that we know, but they're also aligned vibrationally through the crystals that they carry underground, through the writings that are stored away also underground. We know that in Egypt, particularly under the Sphinx, there's a huge number of writings that are there waiting to be brought up into for humans to be able to have access to that knowledge. But pertaining to the Mayans, because of all they've gone through, it also affected, in some ways, Egypt, because they're interconnected. So both lived or went through similar situations, but in a different way. Because they were conquered, because of all the reasons that you talked about, and because of the work that was done in Yucatan and with the people, the Mexican people and the Mayans, of course, it had a direct link to sort of waking up memories in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as that, as much as we clear and is being cleared by all the light workers right now, pertaining to the Yucatan, we are also doing work for Egypt, for the pyramids in Egypt, and everything that's related to that site because of the interconnection that's so deep.
Mm-hmm.
Because our masters
are incarnated
there. You know?
I'm sure that there are also links to the Native Americans in the U.S. and to other groups across the world that have been conquered and oppressed in one way or another.
That's
so
right.
We're not just talking about the Yucatan and Egypt, but this is where the pyramids are. So we're focusing on that right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And right now, because we're feeling, as you put it, we're feeling tired and all that, it's because we're the boots on the ground, and that we will never repeat enough, because we are the boots on the ground, because we are in physicality. As we need the masters to accompany us, they need us to be able to anchor, because we are in the physical realm, because we can clear here. Mother Earth is vibration, but Mother Earth is physical. So that's a very important role that we're playing right now, to be able to clear and to bring in the new crystalline energies. And every time there's new that comes in, of course, it stirs up. And so we need to keep our focus on what we're doing and what we're manifesting, and keep going. And from my perspective, where we are now compared even to 6 months ago, we've done quantum leaps in that regard of the work that has been done by everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think lightworkers need to hear this, because, you know, as you're slogging along with your boots in the mud, it can get to feel like it's endless. So I think it's really important that people know how far we really have come, and that these things that are now being stirred up, these energies that are now being stirred up, are really a good thing, because it's part of the cleansing. And I'm also getting that by cleansing in this way, we have changed the program. There originally was the idea that Mother Earth would cleanse herself the way planets always have, and that is to just have eruptions and upheavals and tsunamis and swamp the entire world and get rid of all the beings on the planet in order to cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
And by us doing this work, this clearing and cleansing and digging and pursuing to clear things away. We're doing the work for Mother Earth to help her to cleanse and clear away all of these ancient memories that are stored in the earth, in the stones, in the trees, in the air, in the houses.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
As we're doing this, we're really helping everyone. So that, and, you know, by changing the weather, by changing the way Mother Earth has to manage her own ascension. So the more people raise their vibration, the more work they do to keep going, keep your energies high, keep the faith, the further we get down the road.
Absolutely.
So I'm hoping that Sananda and the others will talk about that a bit and help us to see it a little more clearly.
And also, if I may add, there's pertaining to the Galactic Command, as you were saying earlier,
mm-hmm.
when we're asleep, we travel. The minute we fall asleep, we start our travels every night, and we continue when we're aware. During the day, we're aware that we're continuing the work that we started the night before. But until we get to that stage, when we fall asleep and we on our higher self, we connect to our higher self and we're with our twins and our masters, and we're doing the tasks that we chose to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's also very important for us to speak about this tonight, because there's a lot of meetings that are going on, and because we are one, because we're all connected, and we're all telepathic. Although we're telepathic, it is important for us just a way of putting it. We sit around boardrooms and we discuss things up there. They're sort of boardrooms, but on the other hand, the key thing is that we get together and we call a meeting, and then we discuss very important things, what went on during the day, what the plan was yesterday, what the plan is tomorrow, and what on the changes that need to be brought. And everything is, let's say that the big plan, the macro, in the macro sense, everything is written and is managed by source. But on the micro end of it, that's
mm-hmm.
where all our input is very important. And we discuss until we come to an agreement, and we vote. Yes, we vote, and we decide on what will be done pertaining to specific issues, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the possibility of when Samantha or Ashtar are saying we're on the bridge and we're looking down, and yes, we may have looked down an hour before, but an hour later the picture changed. What does that
mm-hmm.
mean? It means that we need to reconsider. We speak again, sometimes in just a few people together. But always, specific issues will demand that we meet more often, all together, as a council of one, and decide, and vote on what will be done. And of course, Source always has the last word, and he agrees to all. So that is also important for us to share tonight, because although we may not remember consciously through our daily jobs and what we're doing, we are all not only interconnected, we all have a word to say, and we are listened to. when we are in those meetings, every word is listened carefully, and that's how we come to an agreement on everything. Yeah. So a lot of care, a lot of effort is put into every decision that's made. Every decision.
Yeah.
And we always find a way to work things out, that's for sure.
It's interesting the way you're describing it. I think people will get a picture of how we work together, how humanity and those in the higher dimensions work together. Because they are changing the decisions, the picture, the response to what goes on down here because of our free will.
Exactly.
So, like, I love the way you said, the macro is up to source, but the micro things that are happening and what to do about it is all of us in our higher self. And that has everything to do with free will.
Right.
So whatever we do down here, they have to respond to. So the more we organize, the more we are of one mind down here, the light workers, the more we get together, the more power we have to align with our higher selves and our friends who are helping us with the plan. And the more of us there are that are awake, the more energy comes to our side of the table.
Right.
So I think it's important for people to understand that this struggle, you might call it, that we're undergoing right now has to do with negotiating, coming to an understanding, figuring out what to do about the dark ones who have been here on planet Earth for thousands of years. And given the way we operate in the light, we don't just wipe people out. We negotiate. So
that's correct.
This is what's happening now, is there are important ongoing negotiations with those who have been in power and who are trying to hold on to their power. And they are, at this point, pretty desperate because they know they're losing their grip. So I'm hoping that by talking about this, people will be able to understand that we are trying to give them a picture of the negotiations that go on. Now we're hearing a lot of interference. That must be on the Skype line. But okay, there. Let's keep going and hope that it's that it'll fade. So the idea is that all of the holdups, the delay that may have happened in the rollout of the things that that people feel that we've been promised, like the RV and the landings and so on. They have not been discounted. They haven't been, the plans have not changed. It's just that there are more complex negotiations going on, more subtle issues that have come up that have to be resolved. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. Because there have been in the last few years, the last couple of years, windows of opportunity. And when those windows of opportunity come, then that's when larger events can manifest. And those windows of opportunity came and went, and although our masters told us that, yes, it is time, it was time. It was a probability.
Mm-hmm.
But again, because there are changes and sometimes discrepancies between what is and what is foreseen and what is to manifest, that bridge sometimes makes the whole difference in the positive or the negative.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not because what was supposed to be manifested or what the masters told us that would happen. Yes, it was a probability, not a possibility, but a probability that it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened where it was decided, and yes, there are, we talk about meetings when we go to sleep and where we go back home, and but there are always, there's also emergency meetings that go on. And when those windows were open, there were emergency meetings that went on, really, to decide, do we go ahead with it or do we not go ahead with it, and why?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that always surfaces is to protect our light workers and to protect humanity. Always.
Right. I think that's so important that people know this, that when things have, when it's been decided not to go forward, it is always for our protection.
Always.
That's the bottom line.
It is.
So it's not that the dark has more power than the light, and it's not that they don't care. Far from it. That's what I really wish to impress on people. They are working nonstop in our behalf. Nonstop to try and make these wonderful things manifest. But we're half of it. So maybe we're 51%. I'm not sure about that. So let's see what, unless you want to add something to that, Marlene. I think we might have Mary on the line, too. I'd like to see if Mary would like to say hello. I'm going to open this line. I suspect it's Mary, and see if she'd like to join the conversation for a moment before we call in our masters. Mm-hmm. Let me see if she's there. Mary, for those who don't know, it was the third person who went to the Yucatan with us. Hello? 479, is that Mary? Hello? I just opened a line. 479? No, I think it must not be. All right. That may be someone who wants to ask a question later. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what our friends have to say.
Yes.
They told me they would each have something to say, but they'll make their part will be tailored to what they do in this whole concept, in this whole arrangement. You know, each person has their own particular jobs, their own focus. And so they'll be talking about their focus. And
mm-hmm.
I hope they're going to give us an update about what's happening and elaborate on what we've been saying.
That would be beautiful, yes.
Yeah, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Catherine, this is Meg. What do you feel about, Marlene, would you mind if I muted you temporarily and then brought you back in between to have comments with our masters? I think it's the Skype line that's causing some disturbance. Is that okay with you?
Please do. What I'll do is I'll close my Skype and I'll call on my landline, okay?
Well, if you have access.
I think it's okay. Only if that's good for you, but I don't mind. I just think we'll close it while they're speaking and then bring you back on in case you would like to interact with them at all.
Please do, Meg, of course.
Okay,
Marlene.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, great. Well, that gives you a kind of background about what we're going to ask our friends. We call the masters. So, okay, Meg.
Okay. Well, you've got your tea there, and you're all wrapped up in your quiet home. I know Gabriella and Noev are on their way to beautiful Disney World down in Florida. So
yeah.
You've got the beautiful house that's quiet.
It's quiet
right, we'll
here.
Give you a few minutes. So,
okay.
Yeah,
except for the dog snoring next to me. You may hear something from him. But other than that, it's quiet here.
Imagine a pound dog snoring is always so funny.
All right. So first we're going to hear from Sananda. So I'm going to step aside and let him come through.
All right. We're so glad to have our brother Sananda with us. Welcome, Sananda. How are you tonight?
Hello, dear Meg. Oh, it's lovely to talk to you. Thank you for your good work and your help with these programs, and also with your help with the clearings that we've been doing recently. We know that you've been taking part as well and have been feeling it.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Yes. I'll say a little more about that, too, so that others who are feeling these energies will be reassured. We have asked many of you, and I'm very glad that Marlene and Catherine talked about our relationship with you and with all of you and how we operate in the higher dimensions. It's very difficult for us to explain. And it really is much better when the light workers on the ground are able to describe our relationship and what we do in the meetings and how we interact with all of you. It makes it so much clearer to you. And we're very happy for that. So we have been truly in meetings nonstop, putting our heads together, coming up with creative solutions to every incident, every situation, every surprise. And there are some surprises for us too, you know, because humans are very unpredictable at times. We cannot predict everything that's going to happen on the ground. This is why we work together like a team of, you know, we've used the example of a group of birds and how, or fish, when a school of fish swim together. We work that way together in higher dimensions, but in response to all of you. So you're really a part of that. Electromagnetic and psychic flow that is life on Earth and in the higher dimensions combined, interacting always. And so when something pops up on the Earth to get in the way of what our master plan has been, we expect that. We get together, we put our heads together, we create a solution that we hope will help to push things along, and that we hope will help you to push things along. And now that there are so many who are listening, channeling our words, it's becoming more and more helpful that we can speak with you. And when we do, you're very open to it. You know, think of it, just a few years ago, people would hear about channeling and think, oh, well, that's crazy. It's impossible. And now there are all kinds of people who can channel. You hear about it all the time. People are talking about past lives openly. people are talking about their relationship to not just to God, not just to me or the one they call Jesus, but to all of the masters who are helping you, who are here interacting with you. We're not alone here, just as you're not alone. For every one of you, there is your higher self energy with us. So those of you who are beginning to feel, when you wake up in the morning, for instance, to feel like, oh, I know I've been somewhere. I know I was in a conversation. I can't remember exactly what it was about, but I know I was somewhere and I was talking with people. Well, you were. You were with us. And we were all putting our heads together and creating new plans and working like a football team. You know, it's no accident you do these things on the ground. The football team calls a timeout. They go into a huddle. They get together. They change the plan. They call a new play. And then they go back out on the field and execute it. This is what we do. It's what we do with you. Every day. Every time something changes, we go into a huddle. We talk about it. Sometimes we change the game plan. Often we change the game plan. And then you go back out on the field and you execute it. It's really wonderful that we're getting closer and closer, that you're more and more conscious. It's a delight for us to be able to work with all of you who are so open and questioning. We understand that you're questioning. Why aren't things happening? Why does it seem as though we're just slogging along here and nothing is changing? Well, you do deserve an answer to that. It's not that nothing is changing. Truly, when we told you that we were certain the RV was going to happen, we were. We really did believe that it would happen. But each time there was a complication, something came up, and we truly felt it would not be safe in terms of you being able to have the money and keep it. Sometimes it was a matter of personal safety, where we felt our light workers might be in danger. So we always take that into consideration first. And I want you to understand, things have been delayed, yes. The execution of the programs we had hoped to roll out have been delayed. But the progress has not been delayed. Progress on Earth is moving very fast. The way it is executed ultimately may look different from what we originally anticipated. It may come at a later point in time, but when it does come, it will be more effective than what we originally planned. We're being very careful, and we assure you it is for your protection. If these programs had been executed with the problems that we now see emerging, it could have been disastrous. We did not want, we still don't want, to create chaos among humankind. We don't want to see all of your systems disrupted. We don't want to see people starving. We don't want to see the complete collapse of every type of law and order. And so we're being very careful. I hope that you will be patient and work with us. We need your input. We need your creativity. We need your commitment and your faith. We need your energy with us. So we ask for you, walk beside us. Help us to carry this torch that is to be the triumph of light on planet Earth. That has not changed. The light is growing. Every day we see a tiny increment in the energies rising. And it has been happening steadily. It is a brilliant success. Although you haven't seen the final, go, the last word, which will be go, although you haven't seen that, I assure you, things are happening now that are beyond our expectation in terms of productivity. Let me give you an image that comes to mind. Where I am with Catherine is in called the Hudson Valley in New York State. There's the beautiful Hudson River that flows through a long stretch between the mountains and down to New York City. It starts in upstate New York, in areas where years ago there were quite a number of plants, manufacturing sites. One of them, that you probably know about, General Electric, put effluents into the river called PCBs. They settled to the bottom of the river. And those fish who are feeding close to the bottom of the river became tremendously toxic. The waters of the Hudson River were terrible, dangerous, unswimmable, filled with toxins. And there have been light workers since the 70s who have fought to restore their river. One of them was the famous singer Pete Seeger and his group who built a sloop that goes up and down the river promoting clean water, helping to clean up all of those industries that used to simply dump their toxins into the water, have been forbidden to do so. And the Hudson River is now a beautiful, clear running, powerful place, full of pleasure boats and swimmers. It has changed. And then, along with this process, it was discovered that those PCBs had settled to the bottom of the river. And there have been cleanup efforts which require that the bottom of the river be dredged. This is the process, my dear ones, that we are undergoing right now on the surface. The dredging, pulling up of the toxins and the dark energies that have been embedded in your life, in your soil, in your thought forms. And this is the work that is now being done. Those toxins are being dislodged, and they're floating to the surface, and they must be cleared away. You see it in the sudden disruption, where someone who's unbalanced, who was unbalanced to begin with, suddenly does something violent, attacking a group of people with a gun or a knife, individuals mostly. The disruptions you're seeing now are mostly an individual or small groups who suddenly erupt because of the dark energy swirling around. It tips them over the edge. They were at that point anyway, where they might have been tipped into something dark. This is what's going on now, and this is why we have asked our boots on the ground, as we call you, to help clear away these energies as quickly as possible, the ones that are being stirred up, as quickly as possible to remove them from the surface, to prevent these things from happening even more. Now, this is besides what we know of the Dark Hats, who are orchestrating, deliberately creating problems. You know about ISIS and how it's controlled by, you know, not by Muslims. The Muslims are simply being used as pawns to create the troubles, and the ones who are creating these dust-ups are, they know where the hot spots are in the world, and that's where they go to create problems. So they find people on the ground who are vulnerable, who are volatile, and enlist them in something that those who are being used, the volatile ones on the ground, are simply being used as pawns. They don't realize that they're being played, that their anger, their frustrations, the belief systems that have they've been indoctrinated into, that have a streak of violence, well, that can be used by the dark ones who want to create trouble. That's all it is. We see it happening. We know what it is. We are working day and night behind the scenes, not only to prevent wars from happening on the surface, but to negotiate with those who are insisting on trying to start more wars, because they know their time is up. They know it's long past time for them to leave, and they know that universal law requires that they leave. But of course, they're willing to push it. And we have never talked about this before, but let me give you a bit of a view of what this is like. And then I'm going to turn it over to Ashtar, because he can give you another perspective on what we're dealing with. I mentioned in our last message, or actually Lady Nada mentioned, if you have read the chapter in Catherine's book called Children of Darkness, you'll understand what's happening on planet Earth. There are those who simply wish to create chaos. And they wish to do this in the face of God. It's as if their only pleasure is in spitting at God. And so they take everything in the environment that is of the light and see it as a challenge. They know that they need to leave. They know that their time is up. And they know that God does have the power to force them to leave. But they also know that we don't operate that way, that we don't simply wipe people out. And so they think they're going to take advantage of that. they think they can push it to the limit. And yes, sometimes they do. We have to carefully calibrate our response to that, just as you do there on the surface. You know that there are diplomats who are very skillful at working with rebel groups, for instance, who are murderous. But if you can show your hand in such a way that you convince them that what they're doing is really a bad idea and will not turn out to be in their own best interest, eventually they do back off. Now, we have to calibrate what we do very carefully because those we're working with are human. They may be dark cats, but they're human beings as well. And many of them volunteered for these positions as dark cats. They may have forgotten why they came here to do this, and they may have gotten caught up in it and have completely lost their connection to the light. Nevertheless, they are human beings. We do not simply massacre them. And so the delicate negotiations go on every minute of every day about every incident, every experience that's happening on the earth. We do our utmost to protect the greatest number of people and to bring this all to the perfect resolution, which will be paradise on earth. But without having to go through World War III, without having to see people starve or be dislocated from their homes again. And so you see, it's a very delicate operation. We work very much the way you do. We have greater information. We have a different point of view, of course. We have Source right here with us, helping us all the way. And we're transmitting what we know and what we see to those on the ground. There are many more than you might think who intuitively feel what we're saying, feel what we're sending to them, and act on it. Many do it intuitively. Many do it openly, knowing that they're channeling. Both are true of our boots on the ground. Those of you who are listening are the ones who are most aware, most tuned in to this intimate interaction that we have with you. Now, let me pass this on to Ashtar. And he's going to tell you a little bit more. You'll see by the way we talk about these things. I'm close to all of you, of course. I, Sananda, am the one who is, you might say, the liaison to humankind. Our brother Ashtar, of course, works with the Galactic Command. He's going to talk to you about his long reach and his interactions with the galactic community. Well, I won't say it for him. I'll let him come on and talk with you. And I hear Meg on the line. So, Meg, let's let you do this transition so Catherine can catch her breath and get ready to bring in our brother Ashtar.
Certainly, Sananda. Thank you so much for your message. It was very interesting to hear. some new things. Thank you so much for sharing them with us.
Thank you, Meg. And namaste, all. I am your Sananda.
Namaste, Sananda. All right, Catherine, do you want to take a breath?
I have a little transition sometimes.
Okay. All right,
I'll
we're going to pass
the Yeah, okay, you go ahead.
Yeah, so we're going to welcome our brother Ashtar and pass the talking stick with more wonderful galactic news. Welcome, Ashtar, 2 weeks in a row. Aren't we lucky?
Hello, Meg. Yes, it's Ashtar. Hello, everyone. Well, you know, our dear friends on the ground, Catherine and Marlene, in their talk earlier, changed the program that we had in mind for you for tonight. But I believe this is far more interesting to most of you than the less penetrating version we were going to give you. But we agreed with them that it's time that everyone had some real details about what we're doing and why we do it and how you're helping. So, yes, it's true. I tend to work more with the intergalactic issues. Of course, in all our meetings, we're there together. We all know what each of, you know, everyone else is doing, and we check in with one another constantly. So no matter how far we may range around the universe, we always keep in contact with one another. Now, you may think that that's an automatic thing, but in fact, it's not. It's very similar to the way you operate. When we want to stay in contact with our colleagues and our friends, we use a system that's very similar to your telephones or your, you know, texting or whatever. We consciously call each other. And so in order to keep our system active, it's a conscious and constant interaction between us. So we're always checking in with one another. Now, Sananda was telling you how he works to connect with all of you on the ground. He's constantly in touch with the light workers on the ground, and you may have noticed that there are more and more people channeling Sananda, Jesus, Sananda. Well, we know that that's our Sananda, don't we? So there are more and more people who are channeling us and who are bringing the message to you, and that's a very good thing. We do like to share with all of you, but we also like to celebrate. Oh, and here's the kitty who likes to put in a word with almost every show. She comes to give her impression and her opinion. All right, she's taken off now. She's very soft and has a very interesting voice. You know, cats are very interesting people. So, let me give you a little overview of what's happening recently in the challenges to the Galactic Command. As you know, or probably have guessed, we don't talk about it very much because we don't want to play into people's imagination that has been of the ideas that have been laid down by movies and sci-fi horror stories that have talked about galactic battles and dark ones who are taking over the universe and so on. So we don't talk with you generally about the things that are challenges and that we are dealing with. But I think it's time that you understood and that we share with you, because you have matured in your understandings. You have developed in your ability to see the bigger picture in a more expansive way. So Sananda's telling you how we operate very much the way you do in some ways. Yes, I can acknowledge with you now that there are wars that go on in the universe, but they're not like the wars that you experience here. And the bottom line is that the light always has the upper hand. So there may be those dark hats around in corners of the universe who try to interfere, just as they're doing now on planet Earth. But we do not have shoot-em-up battles where, you know, we're using our lasers to explode their spaceships and they're trying to do the same. It's not like that. It's more a struggle of wills. And yes, we do have extremely advanced technologies which we can use if we absolutely have to. But that is by far the last resort. And so it's rare that we actually have to intervene in such a way that a dark group's spaceship might have to be destroyed, or a group of dark hats might have to be stopped by eliminating them. It has happened, but that is not what normally goes on. We too negotiate. And we don't have to show our power frequently, because the dark ones have a long memory. They know that if Source chose to, all dark ones could be eliminated. That is not the universal plan. There have been dark ones always, and perhaps always will be. And part of our strength and our commitment and the development of our faith and our growth as souls has to do with our choices. The choices we make when we face the challenges that we're facing now. This is how we grow. This is how we learn. And this has been a brilliant success in the sense that we grow closer, all of us. We learn together. We develop our creativity, our negotiating skills, our camaraderie. And oh, how delightful that is. You know, on the surface of planet Earth, you know how people come home from the war and their war buddies are their friends for life. They have a connection that can never be broken. Well, the same thing happens with us when we're faced with these challenges. And it's happening now with all of us. You can feel it, can't you? When we say we're celebrating this connection, this glorious feeling that we have together. We are in this together. And there are so many of us. We come from all over the galaxy, all over our universe and beyond. So the intergalactic community is enormous. And just like you experience on planet Earth, there are new people to meet every moment of every day. There are new experiences. There are new challenges, and we face them together. When we join shoulder to shoulder, we are powerful, and we are joyful because we know that we're working for the light. We're working with all of you. We're working side by side with Source to create something wonderful. This entire process has been like that. And we want you to celebrate with us because we're making fabulous strides. Enormous successes have occurred. Some of them small but brilliant. Some of them across the board, where we win an inning, you might say, and everything starts to change. You have games like your baseball or football, soccer, the games that you play with teams. You know there is a psychological effect. When one team scores a point, they're exhilarated. They're on top of the world, and now they feel like they can win the game. It's like that with us, too. We are winning the game, beloved ones. We want to reassure you about that. It has been a struggle. And winning the game in our universe does not mean we wipe out all the enemies. That has never happened on Earth, and it doesn't happen in the universe. That's not how you create a lasting peace. It's not by wiping out the other side. It's by getting the other side to join you. We must accomplish that. And we will accomplish it together. You are winning over hearts and minds every day. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's dramatic. There are many who are waking up and saying, "Oh my, I had no idea. Now I see life really has meaning." Just that, beloved ones, is a fabulous success. You're less fearful now, aren't you, about talking to people about what you know? Oh, so what if they say you're crazy? So what? It will all be proven eventually. And even those who leave this world before the golden age is fully in flower, well, they will go to the other side and they'll watch. And they will say, "Oh, now I see what my friends were talking about. They were right." Dear ones, this is a glorious project we are involved in. And we are involved in it up to our eyeballs, as you would say. All of us, we are in this together, and we are going to finish it. We're going to finish it brilliantly. All the things that you have envisioned. We talk about these things to you. We tell you they're going to happen so that you will have a picture of it. And so that you will envision it. And the more you envision it, the more you foresee it, the closer it comes. You are learning to manifest. And you are learning together. That's the brilliant part about this. We're all moving this ball down the field together. It's not the end of the game yet. Far from it. But we see the triumph coming. You see it too, don't you? It's going to be a glorious time. It already is a glorious time. We want you to see that. We want you to enjoy it. And share with us our small triumphs, our clever moves. We want you to be there with us. So, I've given you a little bit of the picture. Let me tell you, the Galactic Command is protecting planet Earth. There will be no interference from the Archons, from any part of the universe. There will be no interference. This is our job, and we are on it, as you say. We will not permit any interference because planet Earth is in ascension, and a planet in ascension is a sacred thing, and it will not be permitted that anyone interfere with it. So there are no galactic interferences permitted. Now you have to deal with the interferences that are happening on the ground, of course, which is why you're here. But we assure you, there will be no space wars. There will be no spaceships landing to take your DNA or to interfere with your biological development or anything of the kind. Do not permit anyone to tell you horror stories about who's coming from space to interfere with you. It will not be permitted. And I, Ashtar, am the commander in charge of protecting you. And I will not allow anything of that kind to happen. For I am standing with Source, and Source has proclaimed it. You will not be interfered with. So put that out of your minds, dear ones. Don't even entertain any ideas about some interference from outer space. When the ships come to land, they will be only friendly ships. And they will be here to celebrate with you, to share their technologies, to act as mentors, to be your friends, and to enjoy the party. So that's my reassurance for you tonight, dear ones. Let us lay to rest all those horror stories about what may be coming from outer space to interfere with you. Now, some of those stories came because of the technologies that were developed by the Dark Cats on your planet. They did get technologies from the Dark Ones, and they did develop them, and they were using them to interfere with you. It will no longer be permitted. So whatever technologies the Dark Ones on your planet have developed in terms of spaceships and so on will not be permitted to be used against you. This is new. And so now you have a wider opening, a bigger portal to help you in your ascension. You are protected, dear ones, because we love you without end. I am your Ashtar, and I am here at your service. Salud.
Namaste, Ashtar. Thank you so much for the trust and the partnership with this information, and we will take it to heart and use it for our growth and our understanding and our empathy for all that is being done on our behalf and for the joining we have with each other with this information on the ground. It's so helpful. Thank you again.
Yeah, this is Catherine. Wow, this is really nice. That was very interesting. He was showing me the like the underground technology that had been developed on our planet. And I was seeing these like gray spaceships come up out of the earth, and then, you know, the ones that were like mutilating cattle and doing stuff like that and abducting people, that was human activity. Based on technologies that they got. In their, you know, however they got it, from their contact with extraterrestrials, but the dark ones. But that's the first I've heard. When I heard him say, they will not be allowed to use their technology against you.
Yeah.
That's new.
And that's what he said. This is new. So they must be given more permission to be able to intervene on our behalf because of the higher light and what we're doing here. So that's very reassuring.
That's very good news, because there was a very interesting book, Judith Woods, I think, wrote Where Did the Towers Go? And she made a very good case for the fact that the technology that was used was way beyond anything that has been described. It was not explosives planted in the building. It was electromagnetic beams that can disintegrate things. So that's really good news. If they're not, and no wonder we haven't seen them use it in other places, so they must have been prevented. They were trying out these new technologies on the World Trade Center. So they had the technologies that would, you know, disintegrate cities. So good. They're not going to be allowed to use them.
Oh, that's huge.
But yeah, it really is huge. Even though a lot of people might not have known it, it really is huge that we are no longer at the mercy of these like magic technologies that have already been developed. So hopefully they'll be used for, you know, what's the old saying, into plowshares, you know, from guns into plowshares. So the energy technologies that have already been produced will be what is going to change our world. Free energy technology. We already have it. So we just have to convince the dark ones to turn it over. So I think that's probably part of what he's talking about, the negotiations and the subtle subtle moves that they are making to try to make this a very smooth and peaceful resolution. I think we have maybe 1% of an idea of how complex this really is.
I think every time I hear another message, I feel like I know less about what goes on. I just, you know, I remember I used to get overwhelmed, or at least, that's not the right word, when I would say thank you to Ashtar or the Galactics or to Sananda or to the Company of Heaven. I just had no idea what I was saying thank you for. And it seemed like the more I knew, the more I knew I didn't know anything about what was going on except the small bits and pieces that we would hear. Mm-hmm. And I continue to say thank you and continue to say I know nothing of what's going on, and I still say thank you. And sometimes even to my higher self, I have no idea what you do at night, and I thank you for whatever you're doing.
Right.
You know, that's all I can do, and I'm sending you this love, and use it for whatever you do. And I really appreciate hearing Sananda's words again. And I think many people on the call know that we've been working with the whole Ponopono prayer as a group in various ways.
Mm-hmm.
And working with understanding the power of our taking individual responsibility for what we see in our realities as a way of transmuting any dark thought forms left within us or in the world that is continuing to add energy. And even though we know this, it's always great to hear again when Sananda said, you know, these people volunteered for these positions to help us see the light and dark choices and give us a choice point, a place to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they've forgotten to wake up, just because they may be under duress and not able to wake up, we don't know their surroundings. We don't know what is influencing people that are still unable to wake up. And, you know, I thought about, from Sananda's point of view, that he's working with their higher selves. So we see a dark one on the planet that's behaving badly. Their higher self is working with trying
mm-hmm.
to wake up
mm-hmm.
and trying to influence the light and get their incarnations to wake up and to choose light. And it's good to remember that and to send love and light in that direction for as much as we can understand that complex situation, that they're just human beings, part of our
family. I'm so glad you brought that up. It's such an important part of our work. I think when in doubt, use the Ho'oponopono prayer. It works always to help resolve the darkness. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I've used it. I was so influenced by us all bringing this into our practice as a group that one of my friends asked me to teach a workshop on it here in town. And when you teach something, you always have to do a lot more work and understanding it so you could feel honest in your passing it on. I'm still, of course, a complete student of this work, but I shared what I knew for people who were there. And what I really got it when I read Dr. Hugh Lin's understanding of his work with the Ho'oponopono prayer and his work on closing down the wing in a hospital of the criminally insane,
mm-hmm.
and his never working with one patient but only going to their files and opening it and trying to understand if what small piece of an unconscious part of him was contributing to this being in his reality. That level of responsibility is awe-inspiring. So when we hear Sananda say, these are fellow human beings, we can use the Ho'oponopono prayer to to look at that and say, I'm sorry for thinking any thought or holding any belief in a conscious or unconscious way. We may have no idea what part of this is in us that's still contributing to this being in our reality. And this is, of course, on a collective level. And what Dr. Helan said is he turned skyward to source and said it. Yes, we can say it to each other, but he always turned his face up and asked for correction, asked for love and understanding and forgiveness, which, of course, was immediate, with no condition. Of course it was given. And that cleaning, he kept saying, I kept cleaning myself of the thoughts and beliefs that contributed to what I saw in my life every day, which included the news and the newspapers and the media. And it's very powerful. Eleonora and I and the family have been moved by how powerful we feel in our heart when we apply this to what we see. So when Sananda says, these are human beings, this is exactly what we can apply this to. And it works on clearing any thought form that may be in the slightest way contributing to any duality in any way that makes us feel separate from people we see behaving badly. Just like even I had my sweet puppy bring home an animal that it had killed. And I immediately, I was like, oh my gosh. I said, okay, I'm going to use the Ho'oponopono prayer, and I took full responsibility for this being in my reality. And I was weeping, but I got it, that if there is a small piece of me that still thinks that this type of behavior is any way acceptable, I am sorry, and please forgive me. And just my face turning upward transmuted it. And I know we can use this as a group. I know we can use this powerful prayer of self-love and forgiveness to be able to support Sananda and Ashtar and Michael and Raphael and all the work that our higher selves are doing to continue to move and shift. And it's not a guilt. It's not a blame or shame. It's just, yes, we're all here together. We're here together. And if one person is experiencing it, at some level we all are, and we can join forces together with people behaving badly to help us all lift up. And I'm so grateful for that work you brought forward, Catherine, and how we're all using it. So thank you again.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned this, because I was going to ask that our friends who are coming through tonight lead a meditation for us, perhaps, to do just what you're describing, to join with them, to acknowledge from our part, to acknowledge how grateful we are that they're doing this work for us, with us, and also to help us to join with them. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought up exactly what you said, because that leads in, I think. You're very psychic, because I think you just did the introduction to what we're going to hear from Michael. I suspect that you have just done the perfect introduction. So let's see what Michael has to say. He's going to come next. And he's saying that Raphael is right here with him and is going to back him, he's saying something like to back up, like in a band, you know.
The shoo-wop, shoo-wop, shoo-wop.
Yes. So... That's great. Yes, you got it. So let's hear what Michael has to say, because I think he's going to follow exactly on what you were just saying. And I'm
right,
just so
wonderful.
Tickled. I'm just so tickled that you were hearing exactly what I was hearing and were introducing it. Okay.
Okay, we'll just let you take a deep breath and connect with our brother Michael.
Okay.
Namaste, Michael. Welcome. How are you this evening?
Hi there, Meg.
Hi,
yes,
good evening. How are you?
Well, we're just terrific. We were listening to your introduction and chuckling because you really hit it on the head. You gave a perfect background for what we wanted to talk about, and my brother Raphael is here with me. I think I'll give you a little overview of what my job is. You know, you've heard about how Sananda works with all of you on the ground and of course with us, and how Ashtar is the galactic military force. Well, I think you could say, like the police force. I'm the one who protects. And I'm in charge, of course, of the angels who are here to protect you. So together we work in a very fluid way. There's no real boundary between what we do. We help each other, but we each have our specialties. And one of my favorite ways of approaching things is to try to bring through messages, which I've done quite a lot recently, to help all of you see how we interact, you and I, and how important it is that we know about each other and that we connect with one another. And what you said about the Ho'oponopono prayer was exactly what's needed. You cannot police a group of people by crushing them. You cannot bring order and a happy sense of cooperation and working together by force. And just now, really, in recent months and recent years, there are more and more light workers who are truly seeing the truth behind this. That the power is not in crushing your enemy or defeating the darkness. We cannot defeat darkness. We must win over the hearts of those who have turned to darkness. And when you bring forth this powerful prayer, it's nice to call it the Ho'oponopono prayer. It identifies it very clearly, but of course you can see the elements in it. When you say, I love you, to another being, and you feel it in your heart, you feel the sense of connection with that other person or being, and your example with your dog is so clear. It's not just other human beings. It's all the beings, all the conscious beings on the planet and beyond. When you do that, you feel yourself expanding. And when you expand yourself, you put out the vibrations of love. And it has an impact. It ripples outward. And when you say, I'm sorry, it stirs something in you, doesn't it? When you really say, I'm sorry, and you feel it in your heart, and you know what it is you're saying you're sorry for. I'm sorry for your pain. I'm sorry for the history of pain that people have created, those who came before us, those of us now who are involved in it, who are feeling the ripples of it. When you say, I'm sorry, and you truly understand in the deepest part of your being that you're sorry for your own part in what has gone before, even if you're not conscious of it, even if you're not completely aware of it, still you can clear away all those old feelings. Because when you say, I'm sorry, it has a sacred resonance. It reaches down into your very being and will reach the depth of another's being as well. And when you turn your face to Source and ask Source to join forces with you, send the love and healing power of the light together, you create something wonderful. Now, of course, we're not referring to simply saying the words, I'm sorry, especially if the words are, I'm sorry, but of course I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm just saying I'm sorry because it's a good idea to say this prayer. No, it must be, I'm sorry that I am here in this difficulty. I'm sorry that the resonances that came before us, the actions, the vibrations that came before us have created this difficulty. Then you can really feel yourself as the one who is healing it. When you say, please forgive me, it increases and expands that feeling of I'm sorry to include the other. I acknowledge your pain. I acknowledge your part in this cooperative venture we're establishing now. Please forgive me means I acknowledge you. I respect you. I reach out to you, my brother, my sister, because we're in this together. That creates an expansion of consciousness that touches people in a new way. And then, thank you. What a glorious thing. What a beautiful package that is. Thank you. I know that you have it in your heart to join me in this glorious process, which is a meeting of the minds and a meeting of hearts that transcends this present moment, that encompasses all that came before and all that will come after. And I invite all of you here, all of you who are listening to this call, and all of you who will hear it later, I invite all of you to join with me now to send this sacred prayer to to all on the planet, all the dark ones who have created the chaos and the pain and the uproar that has made such news, that has created such pain for so many. Join with me, for we are the angels. We are the force for light and for love that will heal all of these difficulties and will prevent them from happening again. I feel that it tickles Catherine when I speak through her voice. She feels it in her body and in her throat. I will back off a bit so she can catch her breath. You felt my energy in this, didn't you all? I am so dedicated to this process, to this love that I feel for all of you. Together we accomplish this. And I work with you, with my legions of angels. I am known as the one with the silver sword. And yes, it does represent justice. It represents order. It represents change. But most of all, it represents this feeling that we're creating together now. Forgiveness, compassion, and joy. And when you combine those three, forgiveness, compassion, and joy, you can only create friendship, communities that work together, relationships that are based in deep, abiding love. And that, beloved ones, is paradise. It is the paradise we're creating together. And so, use this. Use it every day, all day long. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And vary it any way you wish, because the words themselves are sacred. I forgive you as you forgive me. I love you always. Thank you. Thank you all. I love you all. I am your Michael. Namaste.
Namaste, Michael. Thank you so much for leading us in that. It was very powerful to feel your words guiding us. Thank you. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, wow, that felt so great. Oh. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
And I feel Raphael's presence here, too. He's saying, ditto.
Well, I've been taking Raphael's suggestion this week, and as soon as my feet hit the floor and I put my feet in my slippers, I say, good morning, Raphael. Welcome. This is going to be a great day. It's like a little thing in the morning. It's so fun.
Uh-huh.
And he's so sweet. His energy has been so sweet. I know several of my friends after the call have been saying, oh, I call Raphael every morning now. So thank you, Raphael. You've been very busy with all of us.
Yes, indeed, I have. Yes, this is Raphael. Indeed, I have. And I am enjoying it tremendously. For this is what I love to do. And that is to bring light and a cheerful beginning to every day, to every encounter, to every experience. So, greetings, beloved ones, and namaste all. And I'm going to close the call for everyone today by sending you the healing light. Ah, feel it. Golden rays beaming on you, filling your hearts, filling your souls with happiness and joy that we are working together. We are succeeding, beloved ones, in this great project that we have taken on together. So, until we speak again next week, I send you the greatest amount of love that your hearts can possibly hold from the company of heaven, from me, Raphael, from all of us. We love you. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Oh, we love you.
Oh, I feel like I just got a great big hug.
Thank you. Golden light all over us. We take it.
You know, before we close, I really had something important to talk about that I forgot to introduce, and that is about our retreat.
Absolutely.
So much going on here, we didn't even talk about it. But I did send out the announcement about the retreat that we're planning for February 22nd to March 1st, a week-long retreat here in the Hudson Valley. Meg's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Gabriella's going to be there. Our beloved EJ is going to be there, Ellie. We're all going to be cooking up a storm and doing visual centering and having a wonderful time. So we have a week-long retreat and an intensive workshop, which is just 4 days after it. So if you haven't gotten the brochure, Gabriella has created an absolutely gorgeous brochure to tell everybody what it's about. It gives you a really good sense of what's going to happen there. The schedule, the cost, the how to book, where it is, how to get there, everything is there. So if you didn't get the email, just send, you know, with the brochure, send me an email and I'll send it out again. Actually, I think I'll do another email and send it out again.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. If people didn't get it the first time, just go to the website, whoneedslight.org, and sign up. There's a little you know, what do you call that? The title at the top that tells you, sign up. And if you put your name on that list, then you will get the email when it comes out. So I'll send it out again in a few days. So people will have it to send on to friends if they want to. And in that email is the link to the PDF. Also, there's a link to an iVersion. So
also for people who use the Mac and like to use that. But the PDF, you should be able to open. Seems like everybody's been able to open it. So enjoy the brochure. It is an absolute pleasure to look at and to read. And everything you need to know is there to find out where it is, how to sign up, and so on. So we already have people beginning to sign up. It's going to be a very exciting event. And both the week-long workshop and the intensive will feature visual centering work. So people have asked me, how do I go about getting trained? Well, here's how. You come to the retreat. And people who want to be trained in doing visual centering come to the week-long workshop. And you will be immersed in focusing, balancing, all different versions of how to do that. In addition to the visual centering, we'll be doing, this is up to Meg. I'm going to let her talk a little bit about it, but we will be doing vegan cooking, and Gabriella is already excited about creating a cookbook, an e-cookbook for people to take home. So you'll have the recipes. You'll learn about how to be vegan, how to cook, and believe me, the recipes are phenomenal. And the food is going to be absolutely terrific. And everybody's going to get a chance to join in, learn how it's done, help out, be there in the kitchen, learning how to be a vegan cook. So that's going to be part of the retreat as well, in addition to the fact that it's in a gorgeous place. So, Meg, do you want to add something to that?
And in addition to the fact, not only will you be chopping and having fun and laughing in the kitchen, which is a requisite, we have galactic activations, very similar to what Marlene, Catherine, and Mary did in the Yucatan, possibly with a different focus. The masters are with us every day. I'll tell on you, Catherine. Catherine could walk in the room and say, okay, here's a message. Everybody sit down. Yes, there's a program, and yes, the masters can change the program at any moment notice for what they need us to do as boots on the ground, which is so exciting. So here we have a day planned, and we come in and we say, oh, by the way, we're going to be activating the crystal under the XYZ in XYZ country. And so here we go. So the people that come to the retreat are actually used as boots on the ground to do very important work for the galactics as well as Gaia and her everything that's needed for the crystal activations. And we'll do meditations with our beloved Christine, who has been the most amazing grid worker behind the scenes for all her life. And she's coming forward to do some amazing work with all of us and to teach us how to be our own grid workers and moving chakras on the planet. We'll have Marlene there to be able to be our galactic connection and give us the news on how we can interact with our galactic friends as conscious co-creators and conscious partners on the ground, which is really a delight, and increase your ability to connect with your higher self so you can hear the messages more clearly, be guided more intuitively for what your mission is. So exciting.
That's a big part of the whole retreat.
Yes.
Is learning.
Yeah.
We've called it Be the Master You Are, but it really is very much about connecting with your higher self. Yeah, go ahead, Meg.
Yes, and Marlene did I was so grateful for Marlene to let me be a part in the retreat we did over the holidays at your house. And she led a few of us through a very easy and simple but powerful meditation to be in our pillar of light and then connect with our higher self and our twin souls and which are really just one beautiful soul, and be a part of connecting and hearing and feeling and sensing and being able to just increase our ability to get a feel for our higher self so we can remember more of our trips overnight and just receiving guidance. And I really liked how you said, Catherine, that, or it could have been Sananda, both of you said that many people intuit and some people hear clearly. I think this is important because there are many people, I know I went through a learning curve with that, which all of you, we all have different gifts. As my friend Christine said, we come with different beautiful bundles of gifts, and all of us are equal, and many people will sense information. Many people will intuit. Many people will feel bodily. Many people will hear and be more auditory. Some people will see colors. Some people will sense their chakras. Just so many different gifts, and we all have them. And this will allow the work here with visual centering, with the activations, with the meditations, with the vegan cooking, with the galactic connections, with the yoga, with the hiking, all of it. It's all aimed at
Christine will be doing a guided meditation every day, too.
Yes, absolutely. It's all geared toward being able to open up to who you truly are, not to build who you are, because that's already done, but to just open to who you are and start to gain confidence when you talk about your experiences. Like you said to Marlene, when we share our experiences, it's just confirmation. So it's nice to be able to, what did you feel? What did you hear? What did you sense? And Mary described her trip to the Yucatan as more of a sensing. It was more of a hearing, of some auditory sense, whereas Marlene was this, and you got this piece, and when you all shared it, you got this pretty understanding, this thorough understanding of the multidimensionality of it and how information can come in on many different levels, on the sensory levels for us.
And this is a lot of what happens at a workshop like this. It's just fascinating that people can share. And I guarantee you, you'll go home with friends for life. Because that's what happens at these retreats.
Exactly. So,
so far,
you know, as a person,
Go ahead, finish. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that as a person who's been to several retreats, each retreat is different, but I always leave with more confidence, more opportunity to work on my practice of connecting to my higher self, and more confirmation that we are on the right path wherever our feet are. Wherever our feet are, that's where our work is. And if you're guided to know more about your mission and become more connected to your heart and your higher self and to know how to plug in with other light workers doing this work, please come. Just put it out there to the universe. I want to come. This is important, and I feel joy, and I feel called to come. The path will be made. The resources will be available to you. Just say it. Eleonora is the most beautiful example of this. She just said, I need to be there. And that's it. Everything else worked out. So don't worry. The time or the resources, it will be made available.
Well, so far, we're hearing from people from Switzerland, Paraguay, the West Coast, Canada, Australia. There's going to be a fascinating group there. So,
how exciting.
Join us, folks.
Join us, yes, please.
It's going to be a really exciting time. Okay, well, I think it's time to close. It's been quite an exciting call. Lots of new information. I can't wait to listen to this. Because I always learn something I didn't realize happened while I was channeling. So thanks, everyone, for coming. and those who are going to listen to the archives, greetings, and I hope you enjoy it as much as we did. We have been told that the archives will be imbued with all the energy and healing energy and joy that the call itself has. So I want to remind folks that all the archives are there. The healing shows with Sananda, and all the calls going back for a long ways are still there in the archives. So they're there to be enjoyed. So that's it for tonight, I think. Any questions? You can go. Let me give your Facebook page too, Meg. Meg's page is Meg-Davis. Oh, I'm not going to get this right. I have it in my. It comes up automatically. Wisdom Within. Do I have that backwards?
No, you're perfect. Wisdom Within - Meg Davis. Perfect.
That's right. Okay. And the website for all this information, including a copy of the brochure, is whoneedslight.org. So I'm Catherine, and this was Meg, and we're going to say goodnight for now, and we'll see you next Wednesday, same time.
Thank you, Catherine. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Meg. Good night, everybody.